Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Lines of Sight by James Pavlakis is a book of well-crafted, insightful poetry. The poems range from witty to philosophical, personal to universal, rhymed and free verse to experimental. They observe or comment on the human condition with clarity and strength, one review calling them a compelling set of poems. James grew up in Haverhill, Massachusetts, the 10th in a Greek-American family. Had a rich and happy childhood, a river leading to nature exploration in front of him, neighborhoods behind him full of characters and families of many ethnic backgrounds. His education includes scholarships and degrees from Marlborough College and Johns Hopkins University Writing Seminar. His working career featured innovative programs in the field of human resource development. He's lived for extended periods in Germany, Greece, Australia, Portugal, Iran, and Mexico, now residing in Arizona. James Pavlakis, author of Lines of Sight, with us on This Week in America. James, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
And thank you.
So much to talk about during the course of the program today with the book Lines of Sight. First of all, when did you start writing? You've got like a fascinating writing career. When did you start this?
I started when I was a kid, maybe 7 or 8 years old. In the big household that we had, there were plenty of books around. And so I just was fascinated with reading, and I wanted to be able to do the same thing that those writers could do, which is to get the people drawn into their stories. And I loved the concentration, so that's what I did.
Well, were there any authors that inspired you? Anybody that when you read, you thought, wow, this is really good. I would like to do what they're doing.
As a kid, I didn't pay much attention to the authors. They were the usual books, Treasure Island.
Oh, yes.
Swiss Family Robinson, that stuff. But in high school, I started to pay attention to the writers. And they were, of course, what you get in high school, the typical Shakespeare stuff and all of that. But on my own, I was getting into Hemingway, Faulkner, F. Scott Fitzgerald. John Steinbeck was a big influence on me. I liked the authors that really were dealing with reality, but in their own way. They were not fictions that you took off into total imagination. They were they had their feet planted on the ground and were describing life. In different ways, but very seriously, and particularly about how people were living. John Steinbeck's case, he was interested in the people of Mexicans in California, Monterey, the canneries, and then later on of Mice and Men, and of course we all know about the Grapes of Wrath, the tremendous incident in American history with the farming problems.
Oh, yes.
So I was interested in all of that stuff, and that's what got me started.
With us on the program is James Pavlakis, and that's Pavlakis. If you Google it to get information on the book, and you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to this particular book, a poetry, Lines of Sight by James. It's available, of course, at Amazon. We'll have all that information, talk about it throughout the program. Once you're influenced by those people and you read the great works that you just talked about, how difficult is it to develop your own writing style? And I ask that because you've done a number of different types of writing over the years, and you have a unique style about you. How long does it take for a writer to develop their style?
Well, it occurs unconsciously. You get your style by just doing a lot of writing. You have to do a lot of writing, whether you ever publish or not, and then you get to acquire techniques. You decide what it is that's important to you, and it depends on what you're writing about. You write differently if you're trying to write a script for television or the movies. You write differently if you're writing in the first person, but overall, you acquire a style, as you put it, Rick, by it's an unconscious
yes.
it's an unconscious process that just develops by writing a lot. That's the best
I
can say.
Well, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden you find, hey, this is my style. May not even know it. It's just the way that you get comfortable in writing, especially when you've done it as many years that James has done. Let's go back to those early influences. I talked to so many authors that they're avid readers. They enjoy writing. They were influenced by teachers. Did you have some of those along the way that were really inspirational to you when you decided, I like reading and I like writing?
I found that the influence in regards to writing from the teachers is their expression to me that they thought my stuff really was effective.
Yes.
All the teachers I had, you know, all did their best for everybody. But when one calls you aside and says, really, you've got something going here, you have a talent, keep it up. That is that encouragement is what I is what influenced me in the sense that of believing that I had something that I should continue to do. Kind of a pat on the back, and you know, approval. Approval is
exactly.
Always a good thing to have when you're trying to do something, right?
Well, we always like to have that approval, that nod, that thumbs up, that, hey, kid, you're doing a good job with that. And you had that with your education, too. Talk about the scholarships. I mentioned the scholarships that you had. That's an affirmation that what you're doing is effective as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, the undergraduate scholarships I got to both the University of Tampa then at Marlboro, well, the usual things, they check your profile, and then in those days, you had to write an essay or something as part of your application. And I think they all noticed that I was able to write in an interesting, compelling way. So I'm sure that I scored some points with that ability, which I've had all my life. Now, in the MA at Johns Hopkins, it was a little bit different. I showed up at the man's office who ran the seminar 2 weeks before it started. He never heard of me, and he said, "You must be crazy trying to apply at this hour, at this late date." I left the manuscript. I went out, as young men do, until late that night. When I came back to an apartment I shared with my brother, he said, "Hey, Mr. Coleman wants to see you no matter what time you come in." I called him, and he said, "Okay, Jim, I want to see you Monday morning. We have to get you into the seminar." So,
once again, so, an affirmation that you're pursuing the right, your calling in life. James Pavlakis, our guest on the program. That's Pavlakis. If you're into Googling to get information on the book of poetry that we're talking about, Lines of Sight, but James has written so much more and studied abroad as well. I mentioned the litany of countries that you visited. And as I'm reading through your background, you're sort of a product of everything you've done in your life, including travel. How important has that been in shaping who you are as a writer?
Well, it was not so much as a writer, because although the early stages of those travels were in order to find a place where my wife and I could afford to live and where I could write and finish these long novels I was interested in. So that was good, but I was always distracted by other things. So they were interesting, particularly in Greece and Germany and Australia, and a lot of adventures, but they didn't affect my writing very much. Later on, when I came back to the States from Australia, by the way, I should say this. An abbreviated version of that period of my life would go something like this. I was married in Mannheim, Germany, divorced in Sydney, Australia, remarried a while later in Tehran, Iran, and not very long ago, separated by the death of my second wife in Houston, Texas. From
sorry
dementia.
To hear that.
So that's the abbreviation. You can read between the lines. Had all kinds of jobs, all kinds of adventures. The strongest influence all of that experience came to was a sense of knowing exactly who I was, and a sense of having a braver attitude toward accomplishing what it was I was going to do next. And that helped me in the career I developed in the corporate world, where I could hold my head up high and propose things, innovations, and to the offices of a large corporation, and look them in the eye and say, I believe this company needs to do A, B, and C. It'll be good for you and good for your employees. And that's how I was able to develop very extensive programs that advanced the education of employees. And in one of the telephone companies had 36,000 employees. Later it had 80,000 employees. And after that, I was able to influence elements in the CWA union contract. So I was able to retire early, but with a tremendous amount of satisfaction that I had really accomplished something, both in creatively, but also for the benefit of lots and lots of people.
Yeah, so, when you look back on that, and you've got so many great achievements in your life, and the book that we'll talk about here in a second, specifically Lines of Sight, and you've done so much. But I get the impression in listening to you, it's that educational aspect, the doors that you were able to open for all those employees, that you really consider one of the proudest achievements in your life.
Yes, those years in the corporate world were achievements as opposed to the writing that I made. I never really published anything of any substance, even though I wrote a lot. And I did a lot of freelance writing in those days that doesn't involve publishing. Freelancing for advertising,
yes.
Local satirical newspapers, TV, continuity, skits, that kind of stuff. When you're a freelance writer, there's not much done on paper. People usually pay you out of their own pockets or out of some slush fund that they have, because you're not really an employee. In Australia, I just got 5 or 10 pounds for this piece of writing and so forth and so on. I hope I'm not being confusing here. What I've done in my most recent retirement years here in Arizona is to be a part of a poetry writing group. And that's when I really started to write the poems that are in this book. They're all written in the last 3 or 4 years. And they're written to be read. They're understandable. They're not artsy or trendy.
Yes.
And everyone who has that I've read them to has given me a good reaction. So I'm hoping very much that they'll be read by a greater number of people. And if there's time, I'd like to be able to maybe read an excerpt from one or two.
Oh yes, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Okay, let me give you an example of the first poem is called Memorial Day, and it's the context is a regular Memorial Day ceremony which hasn't started yet, and the poet. The remembering is different, however. The soldiers who died are the ones who are doing the remembering. So the poet asks them to come up and to remember how war caught them, how they died, and where. And later on, it asks them to remember their last day, the day they left home. And the last three lines of the poem are, remember all that before the speakers glorify and the bugler makes you cry. That's the last lines of that. And I can read, if there's time, I maybe could read something else.
Yes, please do. I'm enjoying
okay.
this. Please do.
Here's one. I'm just opening the book at random. It's called Orphan Earth. It goes like this. Night fades and retreats. Morning is called to order. Another day on orphan Earth. What's the true story? Is Earth the cast-off of the cosmos, the unwanted different one? Did time and space conspire to place this scorned speck where it would be doomed to create marvels and self-destruct at the same time? Big Bang Mama Universe, magnificently indifferent, declines to answer. Day fades and retreats. Night falls, soft and silent. The orphan dreams up a noble birth and a glorious destiny. That's that one.
You do such a nice job not only writing those, but reading those as well. And let's take that. We've got a couple minutes left here. And where does an idea for a poem like that begin? And then talk about crafting it, because it has to be the right word and you can't be overly wordy in getting your thought across. Where did the idea for that particular poem come from?
Well, Rick, that's an interesting question. Usually the idea comes in the form of maybe a starting sentence or a central thought, like the whole idea of an orphan earth, about being unique in the universe.
Yes.
The rest of it comes in a very unglamorous way. And Rick, I know as a professional person, you're going to understand this. It comes from writing drafts and revising and revising and revising.
Yep.
I'm sure this is the same way in writing music or anything else. You have to really sometimes you might be able to catch it in one or two drafts, but for me, I have to go over and polish quite a few times, and I enjoy that because I know that I'm actually concentrating and focusing. So I'm sure it's different for everybody. Everybody has their own way of working. Mine is to get it all down and then revise.
Well, the finished product is very impressive, receiving excellent reviews. It's a compilation of 50 poems in Lines of Sight, described as a compelling set of poems. The author is our guest on the program, James Pavlakis, and that's Pavlakis. Do that again, Pavlakis. The book is...
Can I say that it's available on Amazon Books?
Yes, please do.
And I think Barnes & Noble and, of course, the publisher, Dorrance. But Amazon Books, I suppose, is the best way to get it.
Yeah, everybody sort of looks to Amazon for the books, and you'll find it there. And again, you can Google the name, Pavlakis, and we'll make it easy for you if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, a direct link there so you can get information on James' book. It's just a fascinating, well-done job, and it's a pleasure to have you on the program. So much we can talk about in your career. So many aspects of that we could talk about for hours, and then we've got the published author now on top of that, talking about the book of poetry that we've discussed here, Lines of Sight. James, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Are you working
Same
on
with that? Me. Many thanks, and it was a great pleasure discussing this with you, Rick. Thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I got 30 seconds here. Working on anything now? Do you have another book that you'd like to get published?
No, not at the moment.
Well, do that. That'll give us a reason to chat again. So go to work on this one. It's Lines of Sight. And once you read it, you'll hope that James gets back down to it and works on another one.
One thing for readers of poetry to consider is the variety of forms. It's everything from very serious things to some of very witty, and a lot of innovations, too, like dialogues and some tricky things with rhymes. It should be an enjoyable read, and not one of obscurity or agendas. It's meant to have a universal appeal. Okay.
Well, and it does, and I keep thinking of accessible, because you're right. Some poetry, the poet wants to show I'm a little smarter maybe than you are, and
none of that.
Yeah, I'm going to say something. I bet he can't figure out what I'm trying to say. That's not really a lot of fun from a reading standpoint.
Yes.
This is accessible.
Finger on it, Rick.
Yes, this is accessible. This is entertaining. You will enjoy it. Lines of Sight by our guest James Pavlakis, Pavlakis. James, thank you for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All the information on James' book at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.